Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Thursday, March 1st, 2012. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Faculty Senate supports flagship resolution, heads roll in Spokane, Schmidt and Ringo to run again. We'll have details on those and other stories here on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Senate voted 19-14 today to put another $140 million into bridge repairs. The bill, sponsored by Republican Chuck Winder of Boise, keeps former Governor Dirk Kempthorne's billion-dollar Connecting Idaho program alive. The program is intended to make major upgrades to Idaho's highways and bridges. The state has sold $855 million in bonds for the program since 2005. The bill now goes to the House. The Idaho Senate voted unanimously today in favor of a bill that would allow beer brewers to simultaneously own a bar or a second brewery. The bill, sponsored by Republican Senator Sean Keogh of Sandpoint, applies to breweries that produce less than 30,000 barrels per year. The bill now heads to the House. The three finalists for University of Idaho Dean of Engineering are University of Alaska Fairbanks Associate Vice Chancellor for Research Daniel M. White, Interim UI College of Engineering Dean Larry Stauffer, and University of Illinois College of Engineering Executive Associate Dean for Academic Affairs Michael B. Bragg. White will visit the UI campus for interviews next Wednesday. Stauffer will interview Monday, March 19th, and Bragg will be on campus for his interview Tuesday, March 27th. The University of Idaho Faculty Senate voted unanimously earlier this week in favor of a resolution asking the State Board of Education to return the word flagship to the UI's mission statement. The State Board of Education removed the word flagship while meeting February 16th in Boise. The university has been saying the Faculty Senate resolution says the University of Idaho is the state's flagship institution of higher learning, and the university has been using the term in its marketing for decades, but the word was only added to the school's mission statement last fall. University of Idaho President Dwayne Nellis is opposed to the removal of the word and has said he intends to continue using it to market the university. The Faculty Senate resolution notes the UI collects $100 million in research grants and contracts each year, that it has a statewide land grant mission under the Federal Morrill Act, passed in 1862, and that the university was created by the Idaho Territorial Charter in 1889, 1 year before Idaho became a state. Republican Representative Tom Trail of Moscow says he plans to act on the issue in the legislature as well by introducing a bill that would define the University of Idaho as the state's flagship institution of higher education. Democratic State Senator Dan Schmidt of Moscow has filed for re-election. Schmidt is serving his first term, representing Latah County. The new District 5 will include all of Latah and Benoit counties. The other candidate so far in the race for the Senate seat is Republican Barrett Schroeder of Moscow. Democratic Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow has indicated she will run for re-election to the House, but Republican Tom Trail of Moscow says he will not run for re-election and instead run for Latah County Commissioner. Republican Dick Harwood of St. Mary's, who would be in the new District 5, is not running for re-election, although Harwood has thrown his support behind Republican Kevin DeVries of St. Mary's. Both Ringo and DeVries have filed for the House District 5B seat. So far, nobody has filed for the District 5A seat. The filing period for those seeking elective office in Idaho started Monday and will end Friday, March 9th. In other legislative election news, Lewiston City Council member Thyra Stevenson has filed to run for the House District 6A seat, representing Nez Perce and Lewis counties. Stevenson is running as a Republican. The seat is currently held by Republican Jeff Nesset, but Nesset says he is running for state Senate this year. The Senate seat is currently occupied by Lewiston Solid Waste Manager and Port Commissioner Dan Johnson, who was appointed by Governor C.L. Butch Otter to replace Republican Senator Joe Stegner, who resigned to take the top lobbyist job at the University of Idaho. Also, Senate Minority Leader Edgar Malapiai and Senator Diane Bilyeu, both Democrats from Pocatello, have announced they will not seek new terms this year. Three out of seven Democrats in the Senate have announced they will not run again this year. U.S. Representative Ron Paul of Texas has scheduled a second stop in Moscow for next Monday on the eve of Super Tuesday. The Republican candidate for president will speak at the ASUI Kibbe Dome at 3 p.m. Monday. The second visit was scheduled in part because of the large turnout for Paul's February 17th speech at the UI Student Union Building. At that event, at least 1,000 people were turned away as they waited in a line that snaked around the Student Union Building. The Student Union Building ballroom where the rally took place holds about 1,000 people. The Kibbe Dome can hold up to 17,000 people. The Daily News reports Paul is also scheduled to speak in Sandpoint at 11 a.m. Monday and in Idaho Falls at 7 p.m. Monday. Heads are rolling in Spokane. Yesterday, Mayor David Condon fired 47-year-old Spokane police officer Alan D. Edwards, who used police electronic databases to find a woman he had met in a bar and arrived at her home unwanted in the middle of the night, December 16th. The woman called 911, reporting someone at her door. Condon fired Spokane City Attorney Howard Delaney today, who was under fire for negotiating a plan to rehire alcoholic police sergeant Brad Thoma, who was fired after crashing into another vehicle while drunk and off duty and driving away. The Spokane City Council rejected the rehiring plan Monday night, and Thoma filed suit against the city later this week. The rehiring deal would have been also given Thoma $275,000 in back pay. Thoma argues the firing violates his human rights because the city has not accommodated his disability, which is alcoholism. The Spokane Police Union released a statement last week calling Thoma's off-duty behavior reprehensible, but saying the police guild has an obligation to support him in the case nonetheless. City Attorney Delaney was also part of the city's legal team, which has been scrutinized for its insufficient investigation of the killing of disabled janitor Otto Zem by city police in 2006. Police officer Carl F. Thompson Jr. was later prosecuted and convicted by the Federal Department of Justice for excessive force and lying to federal investigators. The Obama administration announced a plan to kill competitors to the spotted owl in order to stop the endangered coastal old-growth forest indicator species' rapid decline. The plan calls for killing barred owls who live in the same areas as the spotted owls. The Obama administration wants to kill the barred owls while at the same time allowing logging to move forward in coastal forests. The spotted owl's biggest threat is habitat loss. There are 40% fewer spotted owls in the Northwest than there were 25 years ago. Senate Assistant Majority Leader Chuck Winder of Meridian introduced a bill earlier this week that would require women in Idaho to get an abdominal or transvaginal ultrasound before getting an abortion. The Senate State Affairs Committee took a party-line vote on whether to hold a hearing on the bill. Only the two Democrats on the committee voted against it. It would be the first state law in Idaho to require a medical procedure without the patient's consent. Winder said, "I think it's an appropriate thing in this case to do because you're trying to determine the developmental stage of the fetus. We feel that the state does have a right to look after that unborn child." The bill is similar to the one in the Virginia legislature that caused a national uproar last month. The Virginia bill was withdrawn. The Pullman City Council Tuesday night passed a medical marijuana producer registration ordinance. The law requires those who cultivate or distribute medical marijuana in the city to obtain a city business license. The council could have extended the 6-month moratorium on collective medical marijuana grow operations that it passed last year, but decided to regulate them instead. City Attorney Laura McAloon said the bill would help police deal with crime she said is associated with marijuana operations. McAloon said there is statistical correlation between a marijuana operation and an increase of crime. As a result of that, it's a highly valuable commodity to thieves. However, the new law also requires those who register with the city to have written permission from the Federal Drug Enforcement Agency to cultivate. Because the DEA does not give authorization, McAloon has written a catch-22 into the city law that was passed by the city council this week. McAloon told the Daily News, "So that's the conflict. Which law prevails? We've done what state law says we can do in this situation, which is to impose a local system of licensing and registration." In other business, the Pullman City Council voted unanimously Tuesday night to appoint Fritz Hughes to fill the Ward 2 council seat, vacated mid-term by Barney Waldrop. There were three other applicants for the position: Bridget Brady, Derek Skaug, and Julia Krauser. Fire officials believe a trailer house fire Tuesday night on Palouse River Drive in Moscow is believed to have been caused by a child playing with a lighter. Moscow Volunteer Fire Department Division Chief Joe Williams said the fire started in a back bedroom and had fully engulfed the trailer before firefighters were on the scene. Resident Marie Lindbaugh was alerted to the fire by her children, and she was able to leave the trailer with her two sons and 2-month-old daughter safely. Lindbaugh's husband was at work at the time, and investigation into the cause of the fire is ongoing. The Idaho Supreme Court denied the appeal from Twin Falls resident Dan Fuchs to change how the state handles waiting lists for liquor licenses. Fuchs sued the Idaho State Police's Alcoholic Beverage Control Bureau in 2009 after state lawmakers changed the liquor license rules in 2007 to prevent people from being on a single city's waiting list multiple times. Fuchs had applied for a liquor license more than 20 times in 6 cities, including Twin Falls, Idaho Falls, Ketchum, Haley, Sun Valley, and Bellevue. After the rule passed, multiple entries were removed from waiting lists. The Bureau lobbied for the rule to limit applicants to one entry on a city's waiting list to deter repeat applicants. Idaho limits liquor licenses to one per 1,500 residents in a city, and some licenses have been sold for up to 6 figures as investors turned to selling and leasing liquor licenses. The 2007 rule attempted to prevent the unlawful transfer of licenses. When Fuchs' duplicate entries on the waiting lists were removed, he sued the state, claiming officials had illegally removed his name from the lists. He argued he should have been given a hearing first, and that state police acted outside their administrative authority by enforcing a rule that came after he had already had his name on the lists. A district court judge dismissed the case in March of last year before Fuchs appealed to the Idaho Supreme Court. University of Idaho faculty members in the Institute for Bioinformation and Evolutionary Studies, or IBEST, have been awarded a $557,477 grant as part of the National Science Foundation's Beacon Science and Technology Center on Evolution in Action. The University of Idaho's IBEST is an interdisciplinary institute that researches patterns and processes of short-term evolution. It includes biologists, biochemists, ecologists, evolutionary biologists, mathematicians, statisticians, and computer scientists. The grant will fund 11 faculty members, 7 graduate students, and 2 postdoctoral students during the next academic year. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Take a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. A 30% chance of snow showers and sleet before 7 p.m., then a chance of snow showers, otherwise mostly cloudy, low 23, west winds 5 to 15 tonight, gusts up to 20, total nighttime snow and sleet accumulation of less than half an inch possible. Mostly cloudy, high 38 tomorrow, west winds up to 10, 50% chance of snow Friday night, cloudy, low 32. New snow accumulation around an inch possible. 40% chance of rain and snow Saturday. Snow level 3,200 feet. Mostly cloudy. High 46. Wind gust from the west up to 20. Mostly cloudy Saturday night. Low 33. And mostly sunny on Sunday. High near 50. Currently fair skies. 29 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next is Talk Nation Radio, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. And the Green Gypsies in to play music for you at 7:30, music and entertainment throughout the evening here at KRFP Moscow. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, and the recordings of local events and public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member of Radio Free Moscow. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Ryan Phil assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow.